If you will join your faith with me, we don't want to, you know, I'm not some hotshot preacher. I'm just a guy that's going to try to share with you. I'm just like you. I'd be going to hell if it wasn't for the goodness of God. And by the way, I deserve it. But God, in his holiness, in his goodness and kindness, decided to forgive me when I asked him, yeah. Which he always does. Isn't that amazing? He's never said no to anybody. Is that a good God?
Yes.
So you and I are in the same boat. We're all trying to get there. We're all trying to please God. How many of you know he said without faith, it's impossible to please God? And what is faith? It just means we believe he's honest. We believe God tells the truth. We don't believe there's any lies in the Bible. We don't believe God's trying to hustle us or con us. He's not trying to get us. If we give him 10% of our money, is he going to rip us off? Well, if you think that, then you wouldn't give, would you? You wouldn't be a tither. But if you believe God is honest, you'd be crazy not to get in on that.
Yeah.
He said he'd open the windows of heaven.
Yeah.
And pour out a blessing so great you had to give some of it away because you can't even put it all in a storehouse. Is that good or not?
That's
now, that's a good deal.
That's good.
And it works. We were talking about that last night. It definitely works. Yeah. I would not lie to you. I'm not taking up an offering, by the way. I'm just trying to tell you some good news. That's the best investment on the planet.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna ask God for help. Will you join your faith with me, please?
Yeah.
Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we ask you, Lord, for a fresh anointing and for a door of utterance opened unto us by the Holy Spirit, that your word may be understood and made known in all of it, and valued greatly and as priceless as it is, what you have done for us in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for destroying the yoke and removing the burden off these precious brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord God, for a fresh manna from heaven that you give me thoughts that I've never had before. And you give us, grant us revelation and wisdom in Jesus' name. We'll be careful to give you the glory and the honor. Amen.
Amen.
Let's put up 1 Peter verse 5 and 6, please. Chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. In the New King James says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due season he may exalt you. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. When is due season? Because we think we know. I know I have for years thought, well, why doesn't this happen? Lord, I've been praying about this. I sowed for this. I confessed this. I did this. I did. And yet it didn't keep happening. You know why? Because I wasn't ready yet. It wasn't due season. God knows who he can trust. I got one. Anybody else want to vote on that? God knows who he can trust. And he knows who trusts him.
Yes.
He knows who's hoping this will work and who really believes it.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping's for Vegas. You know, if you go out to Vegas, you put that dollar in there and put, maybe you get three lemons. You hope you will. But that ain't faith. Faith is where you have no doubt.
Yes.
God said this. He ain't trying to sell Bibles. Come on. He's not religious at all. He's holy. He's not trying to get anything from you. He's trying to give everything to you. God so loved the world that he's the giver. He is the original giver. And what did he give? The best thing anybody could ever have, Jesus Christ,
yes.
His only begotten Son.
Yes.
Eternal salvation,
yes.
Healing and wholeness. You do know those are the same things. If you accept Christ, he's no... things happen. No big deal. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Where were we? Let's see. Due season. When is due season? Let me give you an example. How many of y'all love your kids? Let me see your hand if you love your kids. Now, if you don't like your kids, put your hand down. Oh, okay. We lost a few there, Pastor. How many of you, if you were a billionaire, and your child was an obedient Christian, male or female, and they were like 16, 18 years old, going off to college, you know, and really had obeyed you, trusted the Lord, lived a good life, responsible. If they were going off to college and they needed a car, how many of y'all would give them a new car?
Yeah.
And you had unlimited finances. Of course you would. Now, how about if that kid was 6 years old and wanted a new Corvette? Would you give him one?
No.
Why not? Because they might hurt themselves or somebody with it. They're just not mature enough to handle it. There's a lot of things that God wants to give you. It ain't like he don't have a storehouse full. There are so many things that God wants to do at your house this week. And you're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you. All the difference in 6 and 16 is just growing up. At one point, it's due season. It's time to get a car and drive a car and be safe and use it to get to the job or to get to school or to get to work. But there is a time when we have to decide how important is the Word of God to our lives. Is TV more important? Is our jobs more important? We got a lot of responsibilities. All of us do. We got to take care of our kids. We got to take care. There are so many things we have to do that are important. They should be done. But none of them is more important than God's Word. I'm going to say that again. God gave us Jesus came here. The Bible said that Jesus came and he lived for us. And he taught us what the Father said and what the Father does. The Bible says, he said, I only do what I see my Father doing, and I only say what I hear my Father saying. So if you heard anything Jesus said, that's what God said. And he came here and said those things and did those things, set the perfect example, so that we would understand how God wants us to live and how he wants us to act and react. And then he, after living for us, he died for us. He went to hell for us so we wouldn't have to go. He conquered death, hell, and the grave and rose again, praise God. And the Bible says he came and met with the disciples and said, I'm going now, but I'm leaving you my Holy Spirit. They didn't know what that was. It hadn't come yet. But he said, I'm leaving. My ministry, in other words, is going to continue, even though I'm going to sit down at the right hand of the Father, because I'm leaving you my Spirit, and you're going to have the same anointing that's on my life, if you believe that. He said, I've given you my Word, I've given you my name, I've given you my blood, and I've given you my Spirit. I whipped the devil for you, and with those four things, you can keep him under your feet. But here's what most Christians do. Instead of taking those things and keeping the devil defeated, they keep praying, God, you defeat him again. Go back to hell and beat him up again for me. Mm-hmm. That ain't going to happen, y'all. No. Bible says when he got through, he said, it's finished.
Yes.
Everything
yes.
I came here to do, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit down at the right
yes.
hand of the Father.
Yes.
It's your turn. Now, how many of you know following Christ is not always easy? Has anybody ever been persecuted? If you follow Jesus, it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
It might not happen to you, you think. Maybe it won't happen to you. No. It will happen to you. You will be persecuted. You will be lied about, lied on, and the people who lie about you will tell everybody else you did the lying. And then, not only that, God said, we got to forgive them.
That's right.
Don't we get to beat them up sometime? Come on. No, we don't. We want to be like him, and he forgave us for what? Everything we ever did, and some of it. Boy, aren't you glad that everybody don't know everything you did? Is there anybody that's glad you got some secrets?
Yes.
How many of you knows you don't have any from God? When you confess your sins, it ain't the first time he finds out about it. It's just when you get rid of it, right? So we got to decide, how important is this? What are we doing here this morning? Why did we get up early this morning and come to church? Because if we're just going through, I came in 1962, I got out of high school and went in the Army. And I got to South Carolina, Fort Jackson, South Carolina, Columbia. In June the 12th of 1962, I went in the Army. And I was in there for a while, and I realized, you know, I was 17 years old, you know, just a kid. And in those days, they would draft. If you didn't join, they'd draft you anyway, so you might as well, you know. And I knew they were going to shave my head, which I personally think is rude. And I wanted to get that over with. They're going to make you, people, the Army makes you wear green underwear. I don't know if you ladies know that. Green. Olive drab underwear. That's rude, too. It's just they take your name. I mean, you're a number. You are a nut. They shave your head. They make everybody look alike. You're green. Everybody's green. Everybody's a number. They take your personality completely away from you and remake you as a team member, which is really cool in a way. And I decided, you know what? I only got a couple years. I'm going to get this done, and I'm going to try to do it right. There was these signs in those days. Uncle Sam wants you. Join the Army and be a man. When you're 17. And by the way, when I went in the Army, I was 5 feet, 4 inches tall, and I weighed 119 pounds. I was a little guy. Little guys get beat up in high school. Little guys on the football team get knocked down a lot. They don't get to knock anybody down much. Little guys get bullied, especially if you move a lot. My parents moved me. I went to 11 schools in 12 years. We traveled all the time. So I got in the Army, and I started growing, man. I grew 7 inches taller, and I got 35 pounds heavier, and it was muscle, too, because we were working out every day. And I went home, by the way, and beat up a couple people, especially my brothers. Oh, well, both my brothers, man, they needed it, too. It was their turn. And, you know, but I went in there thinking, I'm going to be what they call gung-ho in the Army. I mean, I decided, hey, I'm in here. I can't do nothing about it. They're going to shave my head. I'm going to make them. I'm going to take advantage of this time, and I'm going all out. I'm all in. I'm bonsai for the Army. I'm a patriot. Man, I'm going to join the Army and be a man. So we got in there, and we started studying, and we did all this, you know, these sergeants. My sergeant couldn't say four words without saying something obscene. He was the cussingest man I ever heard. I didn't know you could cuss that much. I didn't know there were that many cuss words. He called me, anyway, he called me everything but my name as he did it. But he was a good teacher. And those guys that would train you how to be a soldier, they were good teachers. Most of them had been through Korea or previous Second World War or something. And they were hard, man. But if you wanted to know how to be a good soldier, you could learn there, but there were a lot of people that didn't. They were just, you know, I mean, I remember one day we were sitting in the stands. They would put you in these stands to teach you, and the sergeant down front, and he's teaching us how to throw a hand grenade safely. So we're on this course, you know, and there's this place down there, and you take turns. After they teach you, then you take turns going in. There's a pit down there, and then a wall, like a barrier. And on the other side of that barrier, about 30 or 40 feet, is a tank. This tank's been there for 20 years. It's blown all to pieces, you know, and there ain't even any paint left on it, where people throw hand grenades at this tank every day. And but they show you the proper way to hit the tank. If you throw a hand grenade and you don't hit what you're shooting at, it's a waste. You know what I mean? Why be in the Army? So you got to learn these things. And there's a certain way to do it that's safe and more accurate. So and I'm paying attention. I'm thinking, man, we're fishing to throw a live hand grenade. This is pretty cool. I'm trying to learn how to do it, right? And I look over, and there's guys asleep. Now, they've already told us that people have died right there in that one spot. If you throw it and it don't go over the barrier, hopefully it'll go down in this. There's a pit, and it's circular, and if the hand grenade goes down in there, it'll get underground. It won't hurt you. But if it blows before that, then it has killed the sergeant and the guy throwing it. It's happened more than once. They didn't tell us how many times. And so I was determined I wasn't dying that day. I was paying attention. I looked over. Other guys are sleeping. Other guys are talking. You know, they're just goofing off and messing around. And I'm thinking, you know what? If war breaks out, I don't want to be in the foxhole with this guy. He's not learning how to win the war. Sleeping on a hand grenade course is like sleeping in church. We're in a battle, people. And we're fighting the devil. We're fighting Satan himself. And how many of y'all had somebody to were affected by COVID? You had somebody you loved that died. Anybody? Anybody get sick and has misery, suffering in the hospital with this kind of stuff? Of course. Listen, Satan's not trying to give you a headache. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to steal all your peace, all your joy, your family, your kids, your finances, your health, your life. Am I moving around too much, bro? I'll stand still if you want me to. Sorry, I'm sort of excited about this today. James 4 and verse 7 says, therefore, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, everybody wants the devil to flee from. Is that right? But there's two parts to this. Submit yourselves. It won't do any good to resist the devil if you don't submit yourself unto God. And therefore, if you don't submit yourself unto God, the devil don't have to flee. He knows who's playing church. He knows who's just trying to get their own, you know, their own guilt. They feel bad about something, and so they're trying to go in there because grandma did, and it's the right thing to do. Everybody goes to church. This is the South. This is the Bible Belt. No, that's not a good reason to go to church. The good reason to go to church is because we're in a war, and Satan's trying to kill you before Jesus comes back and gets you to heaven. Mm-hmm. He's trying to take your life and steal your everything that's important to God. What does he mean? You submit yourself unto God. For instance, when God says, forgive everybody. Let me tell you where that is. Let me give a scripture on this. So, let's see. Mm-hmm. I just read this. Hold on. Mm-hmm. My goodness, Mylon. I got too many scriptures here. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. Where is forgiveness, Pastor? Tag team preaching. When God says forgive, anyway, he did. You'll have to take my word for it. I can't find it in my notes. God says forgive everybody of everything. Jesus said this. Oh, it was Mark 11:25. Boy, that took forever. Mark 11:25. And I don't think I sent that over here, so please forgive me, but I just popped that on at the last minute. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive everybody or my Father won't forgive you. Now, can anybody, I don't know about you, I can't afford that. If I knew how to be perfect, that'd be different, but I don't. I'm just my own. So, in order for God to forgive me of all of my sins, I got to forgive everybody of all of their sins. That's the way it works. God sends Jesus. Jesus gives you his life if you give him yours. And then you start acting like Jesus, which means you start doing for other people what Jesus did for you.
Amen.
That's Christianity 101. Now, what if I refuse to do for others? What? Well, you don't understand, God. Anybody who's ever done any marriage counseling can tell you this is the truth. They come in there, the woman wants the pastor to agree with her, and the husband wants him to agree with him. And it's, I did it again, sorry. I'm sorry, bro. Okay. So, y'all gonna have to handcuff me this time, man. No, the purpose of counseling is to reiterate what God said. Why not just accept the counsel of God instead of your pastor? But here's what happens. When you go to marriage counseling, and they say, well, you guys got a problem, and the only way forward is if you forgive each other for the past. And that's when they start saying, well, you don't know what she did. You don't know what he said. You don't know how he... And so that's their excuse for not forgiving. Well, I forgave him 100 times. He did it again. Listen, God said forgive somebody even if you know they're going to do it again tomorrow.
That's right.
On the other hand, I'm going to give you some wisdom. I'm going to give you a word from God. If you go in somebody's yard and their dog bites you, and you go over there the next day and the dog bites you again, and you go over there 20 days in a row and the dog bites you 20 days in a row, thus saith the Lord, stay out of their yard, dummy. Come on. This is wisdom. What if you're kin to them? You probably are. But they love their dog more than they do you. They won't put him up. Come on. They don't mind the dog biting you. There comes a time when you can love them from your house. You don't need to go over there to love on them. Not if their dog's biting you every day. That's crazy. There are some things that have to be, you have to have some boundaries in life on some relationships, but not on your relationship with God. Amen?
Amen.
Forgiving is not optional. It's non-negotiable. What they did has nothing to do with it. Love, God's love is unconditional.
Yes.
You have to have unconditional love. And if you're not there yet, then that's something to pray about. I'll tell you how to get there. I'll tell you how to really forgive somebody that's really... Yeah, I've had to. We all have. Forgive somebody that's really mean and did evil things. And over a lot of years. And you loved them and you prayed for them and you helped them and you sowed into them and you forgave them 1,000 times. And it's so frustrating. Because somebody you never met before, they can frustrate you. But the only people that can hurt you are the ones you love. And in that situation, you got to, if they won't receive the word of God from you, according to God, he said, dust your feet off and go find somebody that will receive it. Knock the dust off your feet. He even said, now, this sounds sort of rude, but God said it. He said, if you're throwing the word of God, don't throw your pearls before swine. He said, you know, a pig don't know what a pearl is. They'd rather have some slop. You throw pearls before a pig, they'll just trample it in the mud, pearls, trying to get to the slop because they think that's valuable. God said, if you know somebody and they don't think the word of God is valuable, there comes a time when you need to give it to somebody else. Share it with somebody else because they're not interested in holy things. And light and darkness can't walk together. They're not in agreement. Amen? Let's look at James 1 and verse 22, please. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, that's an amazing thought to me. I'll say that again. I know they're going to put that up for you. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If you don't do what God tells you to do, according to God, you don't even need the devil to deceive you. You do it to yourself. And a lot of the church is deceived because they think it's okay to do something that everybody else is doing. I should have got at least one amen on that. It is not okay if it disagrees with God's word. If God tells me to do something and I don't do it just because everybody else in the church is adopted that way, that's wrong for me. My relationship is with God. He's my master. Jesus is my Lord. My friends are not my Lord. No matter how much they love the Lord, Jesus is my Lord. When he commands me to do something, I need to be a doer of the word. Amen. If we just hope these things are true, if we hope the word of God is true, here's what I found out. I was teaching at Kenneth Copeland Bible College the other day, and I remembered how bad I wanted to go. I begged my dad to let me go to Oral Roberts University when I was a kid. I liked studying, and he didn't have the money, and so I went in the Army when I got to high school. But I wanted to go to Bible college, and I liked to study, and I made good grades. That was before I started getting high. And it did affect. I remember making fun. I remember thinking, I'd see all these reports and they'd talk about how drugs are bad for you. I'd make fun of them like, man, I didn't believe that. But it did affect my mind. It did affect my memory. And I wanted to go to Bible school. And I met a bunch of people who went to Ram. I met Oral Roberts graduates. I met Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Here's what I found out, though. There's people in the Army that never learned how to throw a hand grenade. And there's people that sit in church all day, every day, that don't go God very much, because they resisted God instead of the devil. Please think about this. When God says forgive them no matter what, don't resist him. You'll deceive yourself. You'll be sitting there thinking, why don't my prayers get answered? Why is that guy blessed and I'm not? Why did he get that opportunity that I didn't? Why did he get that raise and that promotion at work and I didn't? What? None. The bottom line is God offered me favor, the favor of God with all men everywhere. Think about that. Now, that's the deal, y'all. And you can have it. It's free. But there is a cost, and you have to count it. Is it worth it to get really serious with God in these last days? Is it worth it to decide, I'm not ever going out? My wife and I get up every morning. We got a deal. We almost did it again. My wife and I get up every morning, and we read the Word of God. Now, you know, we get some coffee, get a shower, all that stuff. But before we go to the door, if you knock on my door at 11 o'clock in the morning, we won't come to the door. If you call my house, we won't answer the phone. We don't do anything until we spend some time in the Word. She's got a place upstairs where she builds what I call her fort. She's got her computer and her Bibles and all her study. And she gets this big place. It's like her comfort zone. She takes her coffee up there, and she's gone. Don't even call up there and ask her a question. She won't answer. She won't even answer me. And so, but, you know, we'll get together, and we'll pray about what we learned from the Word, and we talk to each other, and we pray together. And then we start working. We don't start, probably, we might start work at 1, 2 in the afternoon. But we get more done after hanging out with God. I don't know how he does that. But those phone calls that were hard to get, you used to wait 2 weeks, nobody would call you back, and it's busy every time. Man, it's like, boom, those things. He just streamlines everything if you spend time with him first, if you're serious about it. Here's what Brother Copeland taught me. He taught me to get up every morning and pray, God, I'm yours to command. Lord, I trust you. I don't care where you want me to go. I don't care what you want me to do. I believe you're wonderful. I believe you're good to me. I believe you love me. And I believe whatever your plan and will is for my life is going to be wonderful because you're wonderful. And that is the most relaxing way to start the day there is, because it's the truth. He's good, and he loves you. And he'll prove it if you let him. If you just give him your problems and your sins, that's a little bit. He'll work with that. But if you give him your whole life, you'd be amazed. You give him your hopes and dreams. You give him your relationships. I told my wife when the Lord spoke to her, please come up and I would finish my sentence and let her talk. So that's why she came up here for me. I'm sure she's got something good from the Lord.
Well, right when you were saying that, and I waited for the right timing, but the Lord prompted me. I didn't finish that scripture, which I didn't get to tell you the reward of getting your mind renewed to the Word of God, of being changed into the image of the Son of God, which is where he's going right now. And the finishing up of that verse, Romans 12:2 says, when we get our mind renewed to the Word of God, the reward is so that you may prove what is the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God. That's what he's talking to you about right now. That's what everybody wants. The good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God, that's where the blessed life is. Praise God. That's where holy matrimony is. That's where the favor is. That's where the wisdom is. It's in the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God. And this was the last thing that I believe I'm supposed to remind you of. Romans 8:29 says, we are destined. Mylon's talking to you about change. He's talking to you about correction. This whole teaching. Why? Because it's war. We're in a war. And what the word says is Romans 8:29 says our destiny. How many of you have ever prayed, Lord, show me my destiny? Our destiny is to be changed into the image of the Son of God.
Yes.
That's our standard.
Yes.
Every time I compare myself to Jesus, I need to change.
Every time.
Do you see the significance of that? That's why correction is so vital. Every time I compare myself to Jesus, I can come up higher. Yeah. I can come up higher in love. I can come up higher in joy. I can come up higher in peace. And that's my destiny.
Mm.
And when I do that, when we do that, getting our mind renewed to the Word of God, now we get to enjoy the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, baby.
Amen.
Hey. I love being married to a minister of the gospel. I love you, baby. Mm. She's a little sweet, soft-spoken thing, but she's tough. Y'all don't even know. She don't take no stuff off me. If I preach something to you and don't do it, believe me, I get an earful. We get in that rental car on the way back to the airport. She'll tell me in a real sweet, nice way, honey, that's not what we're believing for. Yeah, it was a little inconsistent in a nice way, but she will make sure that I understand that we need to fine-tune this thing because it ain't working for her. So that's good. We all need that, y'all. If you really want to be holy, sometimes it's not easy to hear because we'd love to blame it all on the devil, but part of the problem is me. We like to protect those selfish ways. Matthew 7 and verse 20 says, by their fruit you will know them. By their fruit. What does that mean? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, he talks about when the Holy Spirit is in control, if you allow Jesus to really be Lord, then His Holy Spirit will lead you. And when you allow Him, He won't make you do anything right. He doesn't make anybody worship God. He doesn't make anybody go to heaven or everybody go. Some people say, oh, God's in control. He can be if He wants to be, of course. But He has given you a free will, and He will not violate your will. If you want to go to hell, He'll let you go. If you want to deceive yourself and resist God instead of the devil, He will let you do that. But it's not His will. His will is that none should perish and all should have everlasting life. Is everybody getting saved? Well, they would if He was in control. He said what His will is, but people have their own will. So we have to decide. We have to accept responsibility. By their fruit. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy. We should be joyful. Peace. We should be peaceful. Not fussing and fighting all the time. I'm always upset about something. I got a yeah. Anybody else want to vote? Come on now. Patience. Do I need to say any more? Kindness. Gentleness. We're supposed to be the kindest people on the earth. What was it that lady said to you for breakfast this morning? She called you what? Sugar Bunch. This sweet lady at our hotel, we never saw her before. Man, she was in there fixing breakfast. She was so kind. She was so gentle. She was so sweet. I just saw Jesus all over her. I just thought I had to sow in her life before we got out of there. There was just no way I wasn't going to be a part of that ministry. She was precious. She called my wife Sugar Bunch, and she meant it too. She wasn't, it was precious. It was just kindness, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness. We're supposed to be gentle, faithful, good, have self-control. By their fruit, you'll know if they belong to God. The Bible says the world will know whether we belong to him if we love each other. There won't be any racism. There won't be any blaming my problems on you, not if there's love. There's going to be, how can I help you with your problems? There's going to be real laugh from God that we can share. I've had people say, you know, people who are really rude and really unkind, and you have to forgive them all the time, and you go to them when the time is right and say, look, man, why don't we be kind to each other? Why should we say these things? Why be rude? The Bible actually says love is not rude. I've had people say, well, that's just who I am. Well, then you need to change. My Bible says that, let me just read this to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, please. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away. Behold, all. Y'all say all. Behold, how many things are made new? If all things aren't made new, you're not a new creature. God tried to do something for you and you did it again. God tried to do something to you and you said, no, I don't want you to do that for me, God. I don't want to be a new creature. I like being a mean guy and a tough guy and telling everybody off and having road rage and just being a jerk and calling it Christianity. Was that mean? Was I rude to y'all then? Let me tell you why I'm being confrontational a little bit this morning. I was praying about, it's been 3 or 4 years, and I was really praying about God, you know. Some pretty intense stuff happened. When you're a preacher and you have a bunch of employees, and when COVID hit in March of 2020, I had 33 churches booked that year. And one at a time, I had a church in California. There was 3,300 people. And they said I could come out there and preach to 125 of them if I wore a mask while you're preaching. Do you know how weird that would be? But I could preach to 125. That's who they had let in the building. And then I had to stay for two. They had to quarantine me for 2 weeks. I couldn't leave California. That's sitting in a hotel for 2 weeks. So I didn't do that. I thought that was not a good use of my time. And they kept changing the rules. You remember when COVID first happened, how the rules kept changing? All the churches canceled except one, and that was my local church. I could drive to it. So I went a year. It's like being a shoe salesman with no shoes. You know what I mean? And yet, we had the best year financially of our lives. Duh. How does God do this stuff? How can God do this stuff? I mean, it was amazing, but it was hard. Every time we had a hotel booked, we had plane tickets paid for, bought and paid for, and then they'd cancel, then you switch that ticket to this town, but nope, it got canceled too. I mean, a year of that, it was crazy time. At the end of that year, we started in the 2021, the first month in January, we both got COVID. So that month was pretty crazy. And then the next month, they found I was coughing a lot, so they finally had me do a x-ray, and they found I had lung cancer. So then that was in February. I had COVID in January, lung cancer in February. Then I had to go to the radiation treatments in March and April. And when your lungs are having a hard time breathing, and I had some, you know, all those years of smoking cigarettes. I used to smoke before I got saved. I used to smoke everything that would burn, by the way. Did a lot of unhealthy things for about 20 years there. And then I got born again, but those things that I did affected my lungs. So when that COVID came in, I don't understand how to explain this, but I had 38% less lung capacity, which means when I took a breath, I only had 68% of the oxygen to go into my extremities, into your brain, in other words. And if the blood doesn't get to your brain, and if the oxygen doesn't get to your brain, you get dizzy and you can't think clear. And so what happens is your heart starts working harder. Now, I'm 77 years old, and I had a few heart attacks before, but God healed me, everything's going good. But that put a great stress on my heart to get the oxygen to my brain, and that same year after radiation treatments, then I'm in the hospital having a heart operation. And something went wrong. It's technical. I don't know what it was or care. But something went wrong, so I went from that operation into another one, and that one went bad too, and they took me to another hospital and had a different one. I had 3 operations in 5 days. That's not really good to be intubated and unconscious 3 times in 5 days when you're 77. That's not best for your health. Obviously, God got me through it. I'm alive and well and preaching the word and enjoying the Lord, loving my wife. Amen. Amen. He's faithful. He's good. And we weren't. It's wonderful to be a believer because when, you know, James says that any among you having trials and tribulations, then rejoice because it's only the testing of your faith. I knew when all that happened, it's just a test. And the good thing about a test is you can pass them. Glory to God, man. And if you pass, how many of y'all, anybody remember when you were in school? I know it was a while ago. It's okay. I mean, they give you a bunch of information. At the end of the semester, you get a test. If you pass that test at the end of the year, how many of you know you get promoted to the next grade? You're going up when you pass those tests. Now, on the other hand, if you don't pass the test, you're in the same grade next year. Even if you blame it on the teacher, you can change schools. You can change wives. You can change churches. Well, we can blame it on everybody. Or you can change. Whoa. Write that down, baby. I like that. I never heard that before. That's cool. And if we change, why would we do that? Because He deserves it. He's Lord. He's good. He's holy. He's done everything. He's willing to. If we didn't receive it, it's not His fault. If He offered us 7,000 promises in the Word of God and we didn't stand on them and believe them and confess them and expect them, it's not His fault. It's like a check that never got cashed. I did get an amen on that one. That's good. A new creature. All the old has passed away. Thank you, Lord. Joshua 24 and verse 15 says, choose you this day whom you'll serve. It's a choice. It's not God, you make the choice. Deuteronomy 30:19, God said, I've set before you life and death, the blessings or the curse. Now you choose. I'll just be honest with you. I was so deceived. When I was a kid, I thought God made all the choices. So when I prayed, I would ask Him, because the way we prayed is, whatever your will is, Lord. And we thought He would have His will. We didn't understand that He told us to choose. We would pray, but we thought, okay, now we've given it to Him. He'll decide. No, you decide. And you decree a thing. And you establish it. That's what He said. He said, I've set before you life and death, and you can choose life. But if you choose death, don't get mad at me. It ain't my fault. You made the choice. Now, I started to tell you this a while ago because this is important. I said, Lord, what do you want me to talk to these people about? It ain't none of my business. They're your people. You're the one that died for them. I only want your will, and I want to help these people. These are precious. These are your sons and daughters. Please don't let it be just another nice little church service that doesn't affect anything. Please, God, release your power. Help us to know and understand. I begged Him, Lord. I'm 77. I don't want to pound the road the rest of my life and not do anything, not affect anybody, not help anybody. What a waste of a life. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to talk to him about? Here's what he said. He made it really obvious. He said, son, what would you say to somebody if you was never going to see him again? Did you know if we get together a year or two from now, there'll be people in this room that are already in heaven? There's no way to get this same crowd together. Either me or you, somebody won't be here a year or two from now. In fact, I read this week, 155,000 people in America die every day. Every day. God said, what would you tell them? What would you talk about? If it was going to be the last time you ever had a conversation with them, I'll tell you what, we ain't talking about the weather today. The Bible says there's only two choices. When you die, you either go to heaven, which is amazingly wonderful forever, or you go and burn in a lake of fire. What could be more tormenting? What could be more horrible than hell forever? Over something as simple as your choice to accept or reject Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As your, not just your Savior, He is Lord. But only if you accept Him as that. If I submit to Him, He's my Lord. If I don't trust Him enough to do things the way, He said, I'm the way. But if I don't trust Him enough to do things His way, then I'm just a religious jerk doing all kind of stuff in His name. They came to Him. Here's what Jesus said. He said, why do you call me Lord if you won't obey me? That's a good question. I want Jesus to be Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Christy started out Romans 12:2, be ye transformed. Be not conformed to the world. Don't be like the church that stayed in kindergarten. Born again on their way to heaven. Anybody who believes in Jesus is going to heaven. If you believe He's the Son of God and you confessed it, according to God, you're going to heaven. But it ain't going to be heaven on the way to heaven. I know a lot of Christians who are just going through hell every day. But they're going to heaven. But because of the choices they've made, nothing's changed. They hadn't been transformed. They got the same attitude, just as mean as they were 40 years ago. Don't punch the one next to you right now. Don't touch them with your elbow. Don't look around. No, there are people who never grew up any. They just never did anything God told them to do. And yet they go to church all the time. Might as well stay home and sleep. Joshua, choose you this day. I mean, every day I watch the Victory, Pastor's talking about the Victory Channel. I don't know if you can get it or not, but Roku makes this little box for $39 that you can get the Victory Channel on. And I used to watch other things, and they've got this channel. It's 24 hours a day of some of the best teaching you've ever heard, some of the best teachers in the world teaching you nothing but. They have a news program on there that tells what's going on in the world, but it tells it from a faith standpoint, an honest word standpoint. What did God say about this? So it doesn't scare you. It's not fear. It's faith. And it's one of the, in life, the Bible said there's only two ways to live, by sight or by faith. Either it looks bad and it looks, and your mind says, ooh, this is bad. This is not good. And that's depressing, discouraging, all kind of worry, doubt, fear, unbelief is motivated and created by that. Or you can look at everything through the Word of God, and it's going to be all right. Well, how's God going to handle this? He didn't tell me. But he's God, and I'm Mylon, and I'm good. He's got my back. It's all good. It's going to be good. This year, I'm not dying of cancer. Praise God. I'm telling you, I will live and not die and proclaim the goodness of God in the land of the living. Because God promised me that, and he's honest. So I'm not losing any sleep. I'm not worried about it. I'm not discouraged. I'm not concerned. I'm planning some exciting stuff next year. Now, is it fun to go to the hospital? Nope. Would I volunteer for any of that stuff? No way. It's an aggravation. It's a test. And they're not all fun. But the good news is, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What is faith? It's trust. It's knowing that God is good and his word is true and he's going to take care of me. Amen. So I keep that victory channel on. Truth and peace and rest being taught constantly. I would seriously consider getting off of some of the stuff that you watch and look at and start filling your mind and your heart with the word of God. It would be a good investment in your life and in your family's life. 1 John 5 and 4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I have spent the last 4 years, we've got 160 TV shows now. Some of them are on, it's called Along the Road to Freedom. I did an album in 1970 with George Harrison, played guitar from the Beatles, Alvin Lee from 10 Years After, Ronnie Woods from the Rolling Stones, Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac. It was a bunch of good music. Steve Winwood from Traffic. It was what they call a super group in those days. And I was the lead singer, and I wrote half the songs on that record. And it was called On the Road to Freedom. I did not know the Lord Jesus as Lord yet. I knew he was the Son of God, but I wasn't living for him. I wasn't reading the Bible, and I didn't know who he was and how he did things. I just knew what I heard in church, but I didn't like what was going on in church. I saw a lot of hypocrisy. I couldn't find Jesus for a lot of religious stuff as a kid. And so I went my own way. It almost killed me. And thank God he had mercy on me. In 1980, I was 35 years old. I was a heroin addict. Got born again and started over. I quit rock and roll. I'd made a couple million dollars. I took a job at my church for $175 a week cleaning toilets, sweeping the floors. And it was a promotion. It was wonderful. I thought I was too good for it. I thought I was too smart. I'd been around the world. I'd seen some stuff. And the pastor put me under the youth pastor. He was 23. He's the guy telling me what to do. I was brand new in the Lord. I almost whipped him a bunch of times. I mean, I was a redneck and used to being in charge. And I was real proud and, you know. And I was young in the Lord. I was in kindergarten, you know. But thank God, it took me a couple years to figure out I wasn't too good for that. Once I figured that out, he put me in youth ministry. That's when my band started and doors started opening that no man could close. And it's been quite a journey since then. It's an exciting time to be alive in Christ. But that On the Road to Freedom TV show is about freedom from anger and freedom from addiction, freedom from fear and debt, compulsive, obsessive behavior, depression, bitterness, pornography, drugs, alcohol, oppression, divorce, all the things that can destroy your life. How to get free and free indeed. Now, if you don't ever watch, those shows are on demand. I spent a couple $1 million doing those shows, and they're free. I spent 5 years doing what we call Church on the Run, which was a daily devotional. That cost me over $1 million. They're free. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm trying to give you something. There's information on there. You can go on our website, and you can click on demand. Watch any of those shows you want to from wherever that. They're all titled so that you'll know what's in the show. And all they are is God's Word, a simple Bible study that will help you renew, transform you. It'll change you. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Here's the way it works. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Learn how to think like Jesus. Learn how to have the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God. That'll transform you. Amen. I'll close with this. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. And here's what we have to decide. Are we really serious about Jesus enough to give him everything? Or do we want to spend the rest of our life just creating more and more problems to pray about? Because it's one or the other. But if we really get serious, we can make a move. There comes a time when you can learn a whole lot real quick because time is short. He's coming soon. And if anybody gets serious, he'll help you. He said, if anybody seeks me, I'll make sure you find me. Hallelujah. It's time to put away childish things because time is running out. Now is the time to go all in for Jesus. It's time to surrender your will. That's what changed my life. 1980, I went to this concert by a band called the Second Chapter of Acts. And Buck Herring was the leader of that group. He was the sound man, but he was also the one who came up at the end. He wasn't in the, he didn't make music. He didn't sing in the band. But at the end of the concert, he came up on stage and talked to the people in the audience, and I was one of them. And he said, you know, some of you guys know Jesus, but you don't know him as Lord. And so your problems are not getting solved, and they never will be until you give up your will, until you surrender, because you still want to do what you want to do and try to negotiate with him over it. You still live in sin and try to get God to bless you. You chose the curse, but you want the blessing. And I got that. I was sitting there thinking, that's exactly what I've done. And I asked God. I didn't know how to pray. I hadn't prayed much unless I got in trouble. I got busted for heroin. I was in jail, I prayed. When the car is sliding on the ice and spinning around, you're running about 70, even atheists taller old Jesus. But I'm talking about really prayed. That night I said, God, I need your help. If I try to give you my life and you don't want it, I'm pulling the trigger. I can't do this anymore. I was so depressed. Heroin completely destroyed my ability to think clear. I was just so deceived. I was a horrible, selfish, arrogant, manipulative liar, an adulterer, and a fool. And I looked, and God let me see myself that night. Who I really was. It was disgusting. And I said, Lord, I surrender. Help me, please. And he did. He had mercy on me. And he forgave me. And my life started over that day. And it's gotten better. Hadn't been easy. But if you're serious about this, you won't quit when you get tested. You'll get promoted. It's a choice. I got to quit, but I want to pray with you. Will you bow your head, please? If you're willing to surrender your will to the Master today, please bow your head, first of all. Please allow everybody around you just for a minute to have some privacy. Please. This is important. If you have never given Jesus everything, if you realize this morning there were some things that were being withheld, that you were resisting God's word instead of the devil, nobody's looking but me and you and Jesus, would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you and agree with you that God's going to praise God? Who else? You're saying, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. Praise God. Amen. Praise God, brother. Excellent. Excellent. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, my master. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody else? One last time. I'm going to look around. We pray. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It's as simple as humbling yourself and saying, I need help, God. Help me, Father. Say this with me, everybody. Father God, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. And I take responsibility for my bad choices, for my sins. God, you said we could come boldly before the throne of faith, of grace, and we could find help and mercy in time of need. God, I need help. And I need mercy. And so I ask you for it. And I believe that I receive it. Thank you for cleansing me from all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. And I receive your leadership, your word, and your spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, man, I am so thankful. Pastor, will you come help me, sir? I'm so thankful that y'all let me share the Lord, me and Christy share the Lord with you. I truly love you. I'm honored to be your brother, and I mean that. I'm excited. I'm so thankful. This church is not all white. That's important, y'all. I grew up in a church where everybody was white. And too many white people can beat up some music. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, come on, this is the real world. This is what Jesus died for, and I'm so honored to be your brother in the Lord. I love y'all. Have a great day. Thanks.
Have you enjoyed Mylon and Christy this morning? Stand if you would. Everybody stand. I've got to say just this one thing about our brother and sister. You're known for your faith and for teaching the word of faith. And the Bible says faith works by love. And that's what we see in you and have for many years. Your faith works so well because you're the most loving people that we know. God bless you for obeying him and coming back to Florence. Let them know how much you enjoyed this life-giving word. And one more thing I must say, one more thing. I felt myself growing during this word. I mean, stretching, my spirit stretching. And I'll just say this. It is illegal for you to leave here right now the same way you came in. All of us have a wonderful opportunity to be increased and promoted in the Spirit. So go and be blessed and have a great week in Jesus' name.